Christian friends, if you told a friend back home that all this week in chapel at Bethany we've been talking about death, and we have been, they might say, what a downer. But I hope you would respond, no, not if you were there. And I invite you to renew that impression again this morning with this word from God recorded in the first few verses of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Please follow along and keep your worship folder handy because I will be referring to these verses as we continue. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Please be seated. When you arrived here at Bethany in your first year, I know that you were invited to participate. The faculty hopes for your participation in class. Believe me, nothing delights your teachers more than to see students take the risk of participation. But more than that, you were also urged, weren't you, to get involved. Get involved. Right, with extracurriculars and with co-curriculars and with social events. It's part of Bethany. Since you're here, participate. In this reading, God invites us, participate in your Christianity by getting fully involved in hope. Get involved in hope. Look at the reading again, especially that first phrase right now. It describes our new condition. It tells us what has happened to us. Though we were sinners, though we are sinners, deserving nothing but God's punishment, we have been and we are justified. That is, God has assigned the just and holy and sinless life of Jesus to us, even as Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And this forgiveness of sins has become ours in the only way possible. We can't earn it. Jesus earned it. It becomes ours when we simply believe it. So then, since we are justified by faith, we should get fully involved in the Christian life in which God has placed us. And the rest of this reading describes that Christian life. It's like, since we're at Bethany, get involved with Bethany. Since we're Christians, get involved with Christianity. Here's the description. Since we're Christians, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God, where before our sins had made us God's enemy. Since we're justified by faith, we have access, where before our sins had separated us from God. And this seems to be a key. Since we're justified by faith, we have hope. And that's the thought I'd like to dwell on for a few moments now. Hope, the essence of Christian involvement. Hope, you remember, is one of that great three that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, where he says, now abide these three, faith, hope, and charity or love. And he goes on at that place to extol Christian love in words that are familiar, I know, to many of us. And in other places, we hear a lot about faith, and that's as it should be, because faith, after all, is that hand by which we receive the blessing of forgiveness won for us by Jesus. But here, in these verses, the hero is hope. It's the center of that Christian life in which we should fully participate. The word meant something a little bit different in the New Testament than it does to us. For us, hope represents a preference. I hope it doesn't rain this weekend on our picnic. It might not, but I prefer might not. To us, that's what hope is. But for St. Paul, hope meant more than just a preference. It was an expectation. Hope referred to something he was certain was going to happen in the future, and that's at the center of our Christian life. St. Paul says, rejoice. He says, we rejoice in the hope of glory. That word rejoice suggests something even more than just being happy about it. It suggests that we talk about it, that we boast about it, that we live in it fully and always and continuously, participating fully in this aspect of the Christian life, because what we hope for will happen. Hope makes us future-oriented. We have grace now, Paul says. He says we stand in this grace, in God's declaration that we are righteous for Jesus' sake. We have grace now, but glory is coming. Glory is coming. That is our hope, and we live it, and we speak it, and we boast of it, and we participate in that fully. More than that, he says, and here's how we can participate in it now. We rejoice, same word, we boast of our suffering, of our tribulations. When things go wrong, and they do, don't they? When things go wrong, we actually remain cheerful because we remember this chain, that this suffering I'm enduring has a purpose. It leads me to patience and perseverance. I'm going to stick this through. And perseverance builds character. And character, he says, leads to what? To hope. When things go wrong, it sharpens our focus on the glory that is to come. And so we rejoice in those things that go wrong. And we talk of them, and we boast about them, and we participate fully in them because of our hope. All three of Paul's great three, faith, hope, and love, are mentioned here in these few verses. But hope is the link between the other two. Hope links us to our glorious future. And the proof of it is here at the end of this reading, where Paul says, hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know, God's love we sometimes depict as shining on us from above or from outside of us, and certainly it does, but here we read that it enters us. It is in us. Now, God's love is in our inward being, in our hearts. What beats in a Christian heart is God's love. And when that Christian heart stops beating, the love remains. That is our hope. Hope is the link between the now of this life and the then of the next life. Hope carries us across that threshold, which is death, into the life of glory that lies beyond. And there will come a time for each of us, probably not as spectacular a disaster as occurred 7 years ago on this day, September 11th, 2001. And haven't we all wondered what it must have felt like to be on those top floors as the burning and smoking World Trade Tower below us starts to collapse and we realize there is no hope? Maybe a time came for a loved one of yours when a doctor came in and said, there's no hope. Surely a time like that will come for each of us when we face the end of our life and someone will say, there's no hope. And that's when the Christian will reply, no. No, doctor, you are mistaken. Now is the time for me to exercise the greatest hope of all. Because in a few days, in a few hours, in a few minutes, I'll wake up with Jesus in glory. And that's participating fully in Christian life.